Chapter 1. The ferry to Larkspur Cove ran twice a day, except when it didn't, which, according to the schedule taped to the ticket window, was weather, mood, or Tuesdays. It was a Tuesday. The ferry ran anyway. I chose to take that as a sign the universe was rooting for me, because the alternative was admitting I'd quit my job, sublet my apartment, and driven 400 miles north on the strength of one phone call from a woman I'd never met, and that interpretation required more coffee than I'd had. "You'll be the pastry chef," the woman on the phone had said in a voice like good sherry. "Eleanor Hartwell, Nightingale Inn. I had your strawberry basil galette at the Camden wedding in April, and I've thought about it since the way some women think about old lovers. Wedding season starts the second week of June. Shall we say the first?" "You're offering me a job? You haven't even interviewed me. My dear, I've eaten your galette. What on earth would we talk about?" So, Tuesday. Fog the color of dishwater, a ferry that smelled of diesel and optimism, and me at the bull rail with everything I owned packed into a hatchback below deck, watching Maine assemble itself out of the mist one spruce at a time. The fog pulled apart all at once, and there was the town. Larkspur Cove came down to its harbor in layers, white clapboard and cedar shingle, a steeple, a scatter of lobster boats sitting on their reflections. Above it all, on the bluff at the harbor's northern horn, stood a house. Not a house. A production of a house. Three stories of Victorian confidence, gables going in every direction like a committee had designed it and every member had won. A wraparound porch and a widow's walk-up top that surveyed the Atlantic as if daring it to try something. The deckhand followed my stare. "Nightingale Inn," he said. "You the new baker?" "Pastry chef," I said, and then, "Wait, how did—" "Small town." He said it the way other people say gravity. "Marguerite had it on the chalkboard yesterday." I decided not to ask who Marguerite was. I would be finding out anyway. That was already obvious. The inn was better up close, which almost never happens. Up close, you could see the porch rail worn satin smooth by 100 years of hands, the kitchen garden in full June riot, lupines crowding the fence like spectators. A hand-painted sign by the door read, "Nightingale Inn. East, 1971. Vacancy, although someone had clearly repainted vacancy many times over something else, and under the new paint, you could just make out the older word had been longer. Nobody answered the bell. The door was unlocked. Of course it was unlocked. I'd been here 11 minutes and already understood that locking doors would be considered showing off. So I followed the smell of wood smoke and old coffee down a hall lined with photographs, through a swinging door and into the kind of kitchen I'd been dreaming about my whole professional life. Big, south-facing, a scarred maple work table the size of a dory, copper hanging from a rack overhead, a cast-iron range that belonged in a museum, and beside it, the reason I stopped, a beautiful old blodgett oven that someone had loved once and neglected since.